Well, I have been around for a few years. And in the years of my existence, I have seen a number of presidents come and go. My earliest recollection of a president goes back to the Eisenhower administration. I was only 4 or 5 years old then, so I don't remember any of the politics that was involved. All I know is he was president when I was a little kid. But following him, I did have a little comprehension of the political realm. And I've seen presidents come and go. Would it be safe to say that the political environment that we are living in today is unlike anything that has existed in recent history? Whether good or bad, however you see it, it sure is different today. And tonight I want to speak on the Christian and government. But I don't want to speak on politics. There's a difference, at least in my mind, between government and politics. Politics, by my definition, I'm going to be referring to Republican, Democrat, Independent. Liberal, Conservative, Moderate. The theoretical or the ideological positions of things. That to me is politics. I'm not speaking on that tonight. I'm speaking on government. And particularly the Christian's relationship or response to government. How involved, if at all, should a Christian be involved in the government of people? That's the question we want to answer tonight. What's our responsibility before God in those things? Before we get into the scriptures itself, let me share some different theories or thinkings on the subject. For some, government and the rulers within government are the solution to all the world's problems. If we can ever get government to work like it's supposed to work, the world will be a great place in which to live, according to these. There are two camps within that thought, basically. One camp of people who believe that would be that is only true if our government is run by people who hold to Christian principles. And without question, rulers who hold to Christian principles would be an asset to our society. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, at least in my mind. Just the one problem, though, with it. Well, actually, two problems with that thought. There have been times throughout the course of history where people who hold to Christian principles have been in government positions, positions of authority, and the world wasn't necessarily a great place in which to live. And my premise here is the rulers are the solution to all the world's problems. And the fact of the matter is, Scripture tells us that as long as man is in control, all the problems will not be erased. Even Christians still live with a sin nature and are oftentimes motivated by it and make wrong decisions, and therefore that won't work. Others will say that government can solve all the problems of the world as long as we get away from Christian principles. Those who hold to that position, humanists, basically, would say that there is, within at least the United States government, a separation of church and state, which I respond to when asked or get into this discussion of, where in the Constitution do you find that? It's not in the Constitution. There is the Establishment Clause that said that government shall not establish a religion. And by that, our founding fathers meant this, that government will not dictate to society how they are to worship God. Government will not support a particular religious belief by its financial contributions too. Nowhere does it say that government can't be influenced by religion, particularly Christianity. It's simply not in the Constitution. And regardless of how you debate that issue, it's philosophically impossible to remove religious Christian principles from governmental control. Everyone in our society today, well, I should say practically everyone in our society today, would agree that murdering of people is a wrong thing to do. We have instituted laws against murder. Back in, about 1400 BC, God spoke to Moses and he said, "Thou shalt not kill." You see, the law that we have in our books today prohibiting murder is actually influenced or dictated by a religious principle. And the religious principle came long before the societal law was ever in effect. You take out the religious aspects and we would have to take the law against murder out of the books. We have laws against taking other people's property called stealing. Guess what? There's a principle in Scripture that says, "Thou shalt not steal." And if you remove government or all religious principles from government, you'll have to take this law of stealing out of the books also and make it acceptable for people to steal other people's goods. The fact of the matter is, there is a moral principle behind every law that man institutes. You cannot get away from religious principles in. So this idea that the government, if it's right, will solve all the world's problems is wrong. There are those on the other camp, in another camp, that would say rulers are the cause of all the world's problems. Kind of like what President Reagan said a few years ago about the government causing problems. Well, certainly government does cause problems. But government does solve some of the problems too. And you take away any type of government and allow man to run as he will, and what are you going to have? It's called chaos. So neither of these positions are the correct positions. Interestingly enough, when God created Adam and Eve, before he actually created them, there was a conversation, if you will, in heaven amongst the Godhead, where the members of the Godhead spoke to each other and said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the whole world." I want, God says, man to rule the world for me. God instituted human government. And to get away from that is to get away from the plan of God. So what then is the Christian's responsibility or attitude toward human government? Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I hope you do. Romans chapter 13. Again, I have nothing to put up on the screen because it basically goes verse by verse through here. And no particular words to highlight or anything. But look at the first two verses. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." First thing that we see here is that civil rulers ultimately are chosen by God. Notice though that in the first verse, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," plural. Not just the highest power in the land, but all the levels of authority that are in the land. Because there is no power, no authority that exists that God hasn't ordained. Now you say, "Well, wait a minute. Hold the bus. I thought man is responsible to choose leaders." Well, that's true. But ultimately, God is the one who is behind it. Keep your finger here. Turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm not too sure if Mike Lyons was looking at my sermon notes for his Sunday school lesson this morning or if I was looking at his Sunday school lesson notes for my sermon tonight. But we have a number of places where we're overlapping. And here's a passage that he made reference to this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Good guys. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. Said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken not unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God instituted government, and at that point in time, the government of Israel was being operated by the judges, of which Samuel here was one. But he's getting old, getting incapable of fulfilling all his responsibilities naturally. And his sons, spiritually, were not qualified. They were just ungodly people. And the people came and said, We need a new form of government. Appoint us a king. Well, Samuel didn't like that, and he goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, Samuel, it's not you that they have a problem with, it's me that they have a problem. I fully intend to reign over them. And there was coming a time, and still is coming a time, when God shall sit on the throne and rule over mankind on earth. But it wasn't then especially that he wanted man to fulfill those responsibilities, but man wanted it. And God said, Okay, you choose who you want to choose. And they chose Saul. God says, Well, you go ahead, you put him in there. I'll allow you to do that. But I've got my purposes behind it too, and you'll see what's going to come of it. Man was actively involved in choosing leaders. God was sovereignly involved in directing the government of man. Civil leaders ultimately are chosen by God. If you come back to Romans chapter 13, verse 2 says, Whosoever therefore resists the power or the authority resist the ordinance of God. When God puts leaders into place, even though chosen by man, some of those leaders will be good. Some of those leaders will be terrible. They will create laws that are just not laws that you can agree with. But nonetheless, being put there by man, they're there for a purpose. And God says you have the responsibility of obeying what they create. Now, there is one exception, and I will get to that a little bit later down the road. But God says, no matter whether you like it or don't like it, when mankind creates a law, you are responsible to obey it. By the way, that's not just in national government. That's in any organization where there is an authority relationship. There are going to be rules and regulations that are on the books, and they're there, hopefully, for a purpose. Well, they're there for a purpose. Hopefully, they're there for a good purpose. And while they're on the books, you obey those things. I get very, very upset with this idea of immigration and these refuge cities where we will not obey the laws of the land. Well, excuse me, why do you have laws then? If the law is an immoral law, change the law. But if you're going to keep it on the books, you obey it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Why? Because government is ordained of God. God has a plan in all those things. Now, He's given mankind freedom of how to work these things out. But you don't disobey the law. Why? Because disobedience to civil law should bring the judgment of God, and will bring it. Look at the end of the verse. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, the word damnation there is not eternal damnation. It's the idea of temporal judgment. When rulers are creating things that are wrong or not obeying the laws of the land, God, in His sovereignty, has the ability to take those leaders out of the leadership position and put in people who will accomplish His will, exactly like He did with Saul. Saul said, I can run things all by myself. I don't need to be obedient to the laws of God. And God said, sure you don't. But we'll see if you keep in your position as king of Israel. And pretty soon it was gone from him. God is sovereign in the government of men, and we need to keep that in mind, especially when there are those leaders that you would say, how in the world did he get there or she get there? But let's move on. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Civil rulers, no matter whether you agree with them or disagree with them in their policies, always practically want a peaceful society. Now, some rulers being evil in themselves, if you disagree with them, you might face extermination, kind of like Hitler and the Jews and some of the Arab leaders and those that disagree with them. They have mass killings and so forth. But generally speaking, they want rid of their enemies so that they can have a peaceful society. And most of the leaders, even though you might disagree with some of their policies, are not looking to upset the apple cart, so to speak, to make society as bad as it can be. They may have some erroneous ideas on how to make society good, but that's their intent at the very least. And if you're following along those things, or at least not trying to buck the system, you're not going to have trouble with leaders. However, when you do that which is contrary to the law, the law has authority to execute justice. I've said it a couple of times in recent days. I've been intrigued by this program, Live PD. By the way, it's a misnomer. It's not live. When my son-in-law was in last week, I asked him about it. He said, well, technically, they take about 15 to 20 minutes to review what has gone on for legal purposes before they put it on the air. So it's not exactly live. It's about 20 minutes old when you see it as live TV. But nonetheless, I said to him, one thing that I've noticed is, that there's no respect for authority. Whenever they pull somebody over on the street or go to the door or something and the police tell someone to do something, the people say, I'm not going to do that. If I remember one time as a teenager, it was Halloween, and a couple of my friends and I had a few little firecrackers. Back in the day when firecrackers were not legal as they are today. And we weren't doing anything destructive with them. We were just putting them on the curb and lighting them and watch them explode and hear the pop of them. And that's all we were doing when a police car came down the street, stopped us. I shook from head to toe because I was doing something illegal. Nothing bad. And he said, boys, do you know that that's a misdemeanor? That's next to a felony. I didn't realize it at the time. There is nothing else. But we shook because we had a respect for authority. And we were disobeying it. People today have no respect for authority. Secondly, I asked... My son-in-law, is that the case? Is that what you find? He said, almost 100% of the time. The second thing is, people think they are legal experts. and they don't know a thing about the law. But that's another story. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority of rulers? Do that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same, for he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. They have ability to bring consequence to your actions. And being a Christian does not excuse you from the consequences. Oh, I'll tell you the truth. Years ago, when your granddaughter was in the hospital with, meningitis? Isn't that what she had? Whatever it was that she had. I had gone in to visit her, and I was coming back, and just wasn't paying attention to my driving, and I was in a 45 mile an hour speed zone, and I was doing like 53. Just wasn't paying attention. I had her on my mind. I just wasn't thinking, and the next thing I know, I look up, and there's flashing lights behind me. So I pull over, and the policeman comes up, and of course I get my license and registration and insurance out and do all those things. And I said to him, "But you can't do anything to me. I'm a Christian. And I'm forgiven by God." No, I didn't say that. Just because I'm forgiven by God doesn't excuse me from the consequence of breaking the law. He is a minister of God, a revenger to them to execute wrath upon him that doeth good. And notice the extent of it. For he beareth not the sword in vain. What do you do with a sword? It's not a ruler to wrap a person's knuckles with. A sword was an instrument of death. And government has the right, in certain circumstances, to take the lives of evildoers. Being forgiven doesn't excuse you from that. Well, let's move on. Verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And we stop there. What are the responsibilities that we have towards our government? Number one, obey every law as unto God with one exception. And that exception is this. When government forbids you to do something that God commands you to do, or prohibits you from, I know I was going to get this wrong if I didn't write it down. When they forbid you to do something that God commands you, or commands you to do something that God forbids you to do. Daniel was a good example of this. When Nebuchadnezzar had made the decree that no one should pray to anybody but him, Daniel said, "Well, that's not what my God said. I need to pray only to him." And Daniel continued to do what God had instructed him to do. Did he have to pay the consequence civilly? Yes, he did. He was thrown in that lion's den. Did God protect him from the consequences of being obedient? Yes, he will. But other than that, we must needs be subject not only for wrath, not only to get away from the consequences, but for conscience sake, to give a good testimony of obedience to an authority that's even greater than the authority of God. How do we tell people there is a God who exercises authority over all creation when we don't obey authority that He has ordained? That's hypocrisy. And we need to obey every law as unto God. Secondly, we need to pay our taxes. I've joked before, it's taxes that were going in the situation where they were going to simplify the tax form down to two lines. Line one, how much did you make? Line two, send it in. Every year it seems that there's another tax or a tax increase. I chafe when, especially like with Pennsylvania, where you're paying a percentage of taxes, 3.07%, and the government comes along and says, we need to raise the percentage. Why? The percentage should stay the same. But if cost goes up, the cost should go up by a percentage. And if it's going up more than a percentage, you're doing something wrong. God never said, I want you to tithe, and then a year later say, well, tithe is not enough. We need to make it 11%. God had that standard throughout it. Pay your taxes. But I don't like what the taxes are being used for. Well, do whatever you can to change the law. But nowhere does it say, if you don't like what they're being used for, do you have to, can you not pay your taxes? Pay tribute, for they are God's ministers. That's what he says here. And then finally, verse 7, honor the rulers. Peter made it very clear in his first epistle, honor the king. And when he was doing that, this fellow by the name of Nero was the Caesar in Rome. And Nero hated Christians. Nero had used Christians as human torches. He was a very wicked person. And Peter said, honor the king. Dr. Kevin Bowder wrote an article, and I thought about it just right before I came over here. I wish I would have had a little more time to print it out. I will get some copies of it and have it for you next Sunday. But he responded to this thing where people today are saying, Trump is not my president. I'm sorry, yes he is. Well, I didn't vote for him. Well, there's lots of people I didn't vote for that became my president. They're still my president, whether I like it or not. He is president. Do I agree with everything that he stands for? Of course not. I don't agree with everything I stand for sometimes. You've never changed your opinion about something? We all have. But he is the president. And therefore, he deserves to be honored. Render tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. Paul also wrote to Timothy that we are to pray for all that are in authority. That's due to our leaders. And sometimes we have some wicked leaders doing wicked things because Christians fail in their responsibilities to be praying for those that are in leadership. And we need to be doing that. Honor the rulers. And when those things happen, is government going to solve all the problems in the world? Of course not. But they will solve some. Life will be better for it. Let's be careful how we treat government. It's not going to solve everything, but if we don't get involved, at least in praying for leaderships, it won't do us much good at all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day that you've given to us today. We thank you for time in your word this morning and this evening. We pray, Lord, that we might be responsible to do those things that are pleasing to you, that the neighborhoods that we live in, as we spoke of this morning, the world in which we are being governed in, as we spoke of tonight, might be that which is pleasing to you. And may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Good week.